Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
You don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The definitive prophetic word on Chick-fil-A is... I don't know. This is Wretched Radio. It is almost certain if you're an evangelical Christian, you have heard the scuttle about Chick-fil-A. Some are accusing them of caving in. Chick-fil-A is defending their decision to shift their financial donations to other organizations that supposedly are not in alignment with biblical values on marriage. And the ping pong match is going back and forth between those who are critical, Chick-fil-A defending themselves. My definitive statement is, I don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know. I'm just reading news reports just like you are. I'm going to simply trust what somebody says until proven otherwise. That isn't just American jurisprudence. That's Christianity. I hope the best. I assume the best. And so Chick-fil-A is saying, no, we did not cave in to LGBTQXYZ pressure. We just decided to change our giving for different business reasons. Okay, I'll trust that. Until I hear otherwise, I put the best construction on anything. And why wouldn't we give Chick-fil-A the benefit of the doubt? Why wouldn't we trust what they are saying? Well, not everybody is. Some rather scathing words from a lot of people. For instance, you've got yourself, I was going to call him Ben Stiller. That's not right at all. Ben Shapiro said that Chick-fil-A caved at the behest of the censorious left. They're no longer going to be supporting organizations that believe in the Bible and the definition of one man and one woman in marriage. So no more money to the Salvation Army. No more money is going to be given to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And a lot of people are crying foul. Representative Chip Roy of Texas said Chick-fil-A was just like every other corporation that ultimately capitulates. Did they? I don't know. Maybe. Conservative commenter Rod Dreher, oof-da, said this was nothing but gutless surrender. Telling readers that this was a reminder that the LGBT lobby and their progressive allies will never, ever leave you alone, never. Well, that observation, I think, is right. Is this an example of that? I don't know. Chick-fil-A's saying it's not. Why don't I just trust them until we learn otherwise? The company had initiated multi-year charitable giving contracts with the FCA and Salvation Army a number of years ago. Those contracts expired this year, meaning Chick-fil-A was not contractually obligated to donate money to either organization for the first time in years, so they shifted their giving. They're claiming that they're focusing on education, hunger, and homelessness. Now, full disclosure, Salvation Army said, well, we've been doing that. That's what we do. We take care of people who are hungry. Quote, we're saddened to learn that a corporate partner has felt it necessary to divert funding to other hunger, education, and homeless organizations, areas in which the Salvation Army is the largest social services provider in the world, is already fully committed. We serve more than 23 million individuals a year. Wow. Including those in the LGBTQ+ community. Okay. Well, there's that side. Was it a gutless surrender? I don't know. Was it capitulation? I don't know. I will put the best construction on it until it is proven otherwise. Because I'm naive? Well, that's always possible. Is it because I love Chick-fil-A? Okay, I admit it. They're waffle fries. They ain't bad. But once again, full disclosure, I'm a Zaxby's man. So this isn't to defend my chicken restaurant. This is not some sort of crush on Chick-fil-A and therefore just back off because I like them and I've got some sort of stake in this entire debate. I don't. Okay, they're peach malts. When they have those shakes, they are very good. But that's not why I'm saying this. It's because the Bible tells us to put the best construction on it. I want to hope the best. I want to believe the best. And so right now, Chick-fil-A is saying, that's not why we did it. Should it be disclosed, they're lying. Well, then they're lying, and it will be a bummer of capitulation and just and somebody who caved into pressure. Until then, I'm going to hope all things. Now, having brought up the subject, however, that these commenters, I guess they're both, have brought up about capitulation to a progressive culture, this is one thing that I think we should be thinking about. Forget Chick-fil-A now. We're done with the Chick-fil-A chat. We better start getting used to this, because we are going to see a gleaning. We will see a separating of wheat and chaff. Persecution has a purifying effect. It does that. And we better start getting used to that. And I think it's going to cut a little bit closer to the bone than Chick-fil-A. It could be in our church. It could be in your family, where we start to see people siding with sin. And we better start thinking in those terms. We better also start thinking in terms of what's going to happen if, and this is certainly an if, what happens if my church doesn't give in and people start getting arrested? What if your pastor gets taken to prison? This is not a crazy idea. Pastors used to get arrested all the time. Consider Queen Mary. She had pastors executed regularly. The number is low, but it's estimated that bloody Queen Mary of Scotland had over 280 men, women, and children executed, set on fire, blown up, strangled to death. Horrible, nasty treatment of people, many of them pastors. She would march them through their church, sending the signal, you follow this pastor, you're going to be following him to the stake. They were used to seeing their pastors put in prison. We've got Pilgrim's Progress because a pastor who refused to recant, who refused to not preach the gospel of grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone, was put in prison, even as his family struggled. You remember the story of John Bunyan? He had to make shoelaces so that his blind daughter Mary could come to the prison, I don't know how regularly, to pick up the laces that he had made so that they could be sold so their family could eat. Do you know the door in John Bunyan's prison was open? He could walk out any time he chose if he would recant. But he didn't, because he couldn't water down what he believed to be true, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and faith alone, grace alone in Christ alone. And so he sat in a prison, and I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. I'm sure it was not a modern-day prison with cable TV. It was awful. And his parishioners, the people in his family, they understood it was a part of the package of being a Christian in 17th century England. And I think we would do well to remember that is our Christian heritage. Right now, Christians all over the globe are being persecuted. Why would we expect it couldn't happen here? I'm not a prophet. I don't know if it's going to, but it sure looks like it. And we would do well to be prepared for it and to just change how we view our association with our culture. If we think that somehow we are going to turn back this tidal wave of progressivism by being really clever in debates, by citing social studies, by having some sort of scientific proof that the Christian way of life is a better lifestyle than living like a pagan, it's not going to do it. The only thing that is going to change what is going on in our culture is when individual hearts are changed, when individual hearts are regenerated by God himself, that he would grant them the gift of faith and repentance, which they both are. By grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift. Paul, 2 Timothy 2:25, I believe, Rexella, that you rebuke them. And I think if I remember correctly, the Greek, it's a stern rebuke. Rebuke them that God might grant them repentance. leading to the truth, that God gives repentance, God gives faith. And the only way that that happens is through the proclamation of the word. I understand. Perhaps you're troubled about Chick-fil-A. Time will tell. Remember, time and truth go hand in hand. In the meantime, might I suggest we would do well in this time to be prepared for when it could happen to you. What if one of your kids suddenly says, "Mom and Dad, I want nothing to do with you. I am out. I just think you're too puritanical. I want nothing to do with your stodgy ways. I think you're hateful and awful." Get ready. We can plan on seeing more and more of this. And perhaps the best way we can get ready is to shore up our own faith. You're going to get squeezed. The pressure is going to come your way. It might not be about your donations to Salvation Army or FCA. It could come at your workplace. It could come with your children. It could come with revoking homeschooling privileges. It could come with putting you in jail. We would do well to be of the mindset that this is not our home. We are wanderers. We are strangers here. Heaven is our home. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Thanks also to our gospel partners. They're the folks whose generosity allows us to be on the radio, on your TV, on your internet, one of those, and develop all those great resources, the latest of which, Drive-By False Teaching, is available now at the Wretched Store, wretched.org/false-teaching. So to our gospel partners, thank you very much for your faithful generosity. If you are not a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner, would you consider it? Pray on it for a bit and support us in preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach and defend the gospel, and strengthening the local church. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details on how you can become a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. wretched.org/donate. And yes, all of your gifts are tax deductible. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, "I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it." She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time, and so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, "Do you have any referrals for medical providers?" And I said, Yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him." Well, she went to him and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds and presenting the gospel to moms and dads? $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
We are proud to announce our newest addition to the Drive-By series, Drive-By False Teaching. And just as the name implies, Drive-By False Teaching will give you the tools you need to distinguish the true from the almost true and contend earnestly for the faith.
The Judaizers were clinging to the past. The Gnostics represent a radical break with the past. And so in many ways, the error of the Gnostics is exactly the opposite of the Judaizers' heresy. And this is what always happens, isn't it? The church kind of swings from one extreme to the other. When the false teaching of the Judaizers met with resistance, and when people began to refute it biblically, it was as if Satan just pushed the pendulum to the opposite extreme.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious and well worth defending. Drive-By False Teaching will help you defend our doctrines. Get your copy today at wretched.org/false-teaching. Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough, long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Todd Friel, the coward. Make you feel like a coward too. This is Wretched Radio with a true story from the Titanic. John Harper, familiar with that fellow, was born to Christian parents. 1872, 13 years old, he done got saved. He began to preach about 4 years later at the ripe old age of 17. Went down to the streets of his village, entreating people to be reconciled to God. Was that popular in 1872? I am quite certain it was not. We have a tendency to think, ooh, open-air preaching. We're too sophisticated. This is the 21st century. People will think I'm weird. I promise you, they thought that John Harper was strange also. Open-air preaching has never been cool. Consider the Old Testament open-air preachers. Thrown into wells, arrested, mocked, chased, threatened with their lives. Real popular. Consider the New Testament. Jesus Christ, an open-air preacher. We know what they did to our Savior. Consider Stephen, stoned to death. Consider Paul, hunted, decapitated, at least says tradition, for doing what? Proclaiming the good news, going to the highways and the byways, compelling people to come in. Open-air preaching has never been popular, and yet this fellow did. After 5 or 6 years of toiling on street corners, preaching the gospel, and working in the mill during the day, yowza. He started his own church, September 1896, now known as the Harper Memorial Church. The church he started had just 25 members. It grew to 500 members when he left 13 years later. By the way, members. So if statistics are true back then in the 1800s, like they are in the late 1900s and the early 20th century, membership was historically lower than attendership. These days, that's flipped. If you've got, let's say, I'm trying to remember the exact statistic, but it is this shocking. If you've got 1,000 members, about 250 people are going to show up on a Sunday. It used to be if you had 250 members, 1,000 people would show up. Because guests and visitors, non-members, but all the members, unless there was an illness or travel, they showed up. These days, it's reverse. People's attitude about church membership, it is so low. The statistics, what happened? It used to be in John Harper's day, you belonged to a church, you went to church, and you didn't stay there as a guest or a visitor for long. You became a member, and you committed to the blessings of a local congregation. I know that can be hard these days. I know there's circumstances. You might not be near a very good church. I understand that, but here's the biblical rule. No, here's the biblical command. You find the best local church as close to you as possible. You join it and serve there. I know. It's not like listening to the preachers on the radio. I know. But that's what we're called to do, and there is blessing in that. And God is pleased when we commit to serving in the local expression of the church. John Harper's church, it grew like a nobody's business. He had a little girl named Nana. But she didn't have a mother because his wife died shortly after they were married. It's April 14th, 1912. John Harper and his daughter are on the RMS Titanic. She was 6 years old. According to documented reports, as soon as it was apparent that the ship was going to sink, John Harper immediately took his daughter to a lifeboat. It is reasonable to assume this widowed preacher could have gotten on board a lifeboat himself. It was women and children first, but to send a six-year-old girl without a mommy, even to be received by a mommy someplace, they would have said, get in. You can't leave your daughter parentless, an orphan. But he didn't. She got on the boat. He bent down, kissed his precious little girl. Looking into her eyes, he told her she would see him again someday. The flares going off in the dark sky above reflected the tears on his face as he turned and headed toward the crowd of desperate, lost humanity on an ocean liner that was sinking. As the rear of the huge ship began to lurch upwards, it was reported Harper was seen making his way up the deck yelling, "Women, children, and unsaved into the lifeboats!" Christians would go down with the ship, giving the pagans a chance to get saved. It was breaking in half now, and many people jumped off the decks and into the icy dark waters below. John Harper was one of those people. That night, 1,528 people went into the frigid waters. John Harper was seen swimming frantically to people in the water, leading them to Jesus before hypothermia became fatal. Mr. Harper swam up to one young man who had climbed up on a piece of a debris. Reverend Harper asked him between breaths, "Are you saved?" The young man replied that he was not. Harper tried to lead him to Christ, only to have the young man who was near shock reply, "No." John Harper then took off his jacket and threw it to the man and said, "Here then, you need this more than I do." And then he swam away to other people. A few minutes later, Harper swam back to the young man and succeeded in leading him to salvation. Of the 1,528 people that went into the dark water that night, six were rescued by the lifeboats. One of them was the young man who got saved because of John Harper. 4 years later, at a survivors meeting, the young man stood up and in tears recounted how that after John Harper had led him to Christ, Mr. Harper had tried to swim back to help other people, but because of the intense cold, had grown too weak to swim. His last words before going under, "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." The story of John Harper. That's why I feel like a coward. Do you ever pray that when God would open up a door of opportunity so that you could witness to somebody? Might I suggest you can pray that God would give you the courage to witness to somebody, but contextually, that would be Colossians 4, verse 3, when Paul prayed, actually he asked the Colossians to pray that he would have an opportunity, an open door. He wasn't talking about somebody that he might be able to talk to or witness to. We see in Acts chapter 17, when he was walking around the Areopagus, what would he do? He'd just witness to people. He'd approach people, "Hey, I'm going to tell you about Jesus Christ." That was not an open door. He witnessed to people that God put before him. An open door is a ministry opportunity, the ability to go on a trip, for him to travel on one of his missionary journeys. But clearly, it wasn't praying for an open door like, "Oh Lord, please just open a door for me to witness. Give me somebody to talk to," because the reality is we leave our house and we have somebody to witness to. We just need the courage to speak, which, just so you feel a little comforted, Paul would pray for that, ask people to pray for him for that also, that he would have the courage to speak as he ought. We need that courage. We have the opportunity. This is the testimony of the young man saved by John Harper. 4 years ago, when I left England on board the Titanic, I was a careless, godless sinner. I was in this condition on the night when the terrible catastrophe took place. Very soon, with hundreds more, I found myself struggling in the cold, dark waters of the Atlantic. I caught hold of something and clung to it for dear life. The wail of awful distress from the perishing all around me was ringing in my ears when there floated nearby me a man who seemed to be clinging to something. He called to me, "Is your soul saved?" I replied, "No, it is not." And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved." We drifted apart for a few minutes, and we seemed to be driven together once more. "Is your soul saved?" Again he cried out. "I fear it is not," I replied. "Then if you will but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul shall be saved," was his further message of intense appeal to me. We were again separated. I heard him call out this message to others as they sank beneath the waters into eternity. Then and there, with 2 miles of water beneath me, in my desperation, I cried unto Christ to save me. I believed upon him, and I was saved. In a few minutes, I heard this man of God say, "I'm going down, I'm going down." Then, "No, no, I'm going up." That man was John Harper. This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's time for sports talk. Sorry, something got stuck there. This is Wretched Radio. That's right. We can talk sports, too, here at Wretched Radio. Nick Foles, he's got an incredible serve. He's a quarterback person for one of the football teams out there. You're in good hands here on Wretched Sports Talk. Joey, who does he play for? The Nick Foles fellow.
I think he plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ah.
Jaguars, as they would say across the pond.
It's not a car. It's an animal that runs really fast. Speaking of animals that run really fast, sorry to be distracted, but it's a gift. Just was seeing the newspaper from 1987, I believe. Al. You know, a lot of people know Al here in our wretched offices. Ambassador Al, basically, was talking on the phone to a fellow. Oh, I've got to get his name. I've got to get the story for you. It was shocking. The guy is swimming in a lake in Louisiana in 1987, give or take, with his dog. When suddenly he felt something really, really strange tug on his right arm. You guessed it. It was an alligator, bit his arm off. A boat came by, dragged him in, put pressure on the arm, put him into the back of a pickup truck, takes him to the hospital. He's in and out. He had actually asked the fellow if he would. He said, "Are you a Christian? I think I'm going to die. What? Tell me about God." And he passed out. In the hospital, he made it. He survived, obviously, because he lived to tell the story to Ambassador Al. And he had remembered what his stepdaughter had been telling him in the preceding weeks. Suddenly, her evangelistic efforts were paying off in a great deal of clarity, and the guy got saved. And now he uses his testimony, his story of having his arm bitten off, leading him to salvation as he goes into prisons and witnesses to people. What an amazing story. I mean, honestly. Now, if you want to boil this down, theologically, was that alligator out of God's purview? Was that alligator rogue, not doing what it was ordained to do? And you have to answer that question if you believe in God's sovereignty. God ordained that to happen. Could we say that God ordained an alligator biting off a man's arm so that he could get saved? I think we have to, because isn't that exactly what happened? And nothing happens without God willing it. Remember, God doesn't do sinful things, but he uses sin sinlessly. And God will send a catastrophe, and God, if necessary, will send an alligator to save you. Whoa. Now, I suspect if you talk to this fellow, would you be willing to give your right arm to go to heaven? He'd have said, yeah, it was absolutely worth it. There's a lesson for us in difficult things. Thankfully, I hope your arm hasn't been bitten off by an alligator. But we go through hard things of our own, don't we? Please note, they're not out of God's purview. God is not the first responder to your catastrophe. God doesn't make lemonade out of lemons. He gives you the lemons because he's good and because he cares for you. And he only does things for you. Painful sometimes? Yeah. But remember, God only gives the appropriate cordial that is needed. Not more, not less. God doesn't need the MRI on your spiritual status. He knows it. And he will only give you the correct prescription at the correct dosage because he knows what is best for you. That's right. We shared that story because it was about alligators. And we had segued from the Florida Jacksonville? I didn't know they had a football team. Yeah. I guess I need to keep
They're
up
an
with
expansion
such
team, Todd. They've only been around for a couple decades.
Ah, you see, I, like everybody else, God gives us all discretionary time. And, well, I just haven't been spending as much time studying the football franchises like I apparently should. But don't worry, you're in good hands here on Wretched Sports Talk. Nick Foles is the quarterback. My understanding is the fellow had something of a discombobulation. An accident. Can't play football. Being interviewed. Dude gave a testimony. Now, I don't know anything about the fellow. I don't know his testimony. I will believe that it's terrific and praise God for it. But wow, what he said in this particular press conference, I got to tell you something. This took some courage, didn't it?
Right when I felt this thing breaking, I was going into the locker room. I just realized, God, this wasn't exactly what I was thinking when I came to Jacksonville. Obviously, you come here and you want to create a culture and impact people. But at the end of the day, as I got, if this is the journey you want me to go on, I'm going to glorify you in every action, good or bad. And, I still could have joy in an injury. And that's people hear that and say, that's crazy. But it's like when you believe in Jesus and you go out there and you play, and that changes your heart. And you only understand it when, that purpose in your life, just like when I hoisted the Lombardi trophy. The reason I'm smiling is my faith was in Christ in that moment. And I realized I didn't need that trophy to define who I was. Wow. Because it was already in Christ.
Wow.
And that's my message when I play. Same thing happens when I get injured. We tend to make this so much about us as human beings. We tend to make it about us as athletes. It's not about us. It really isn't. If you make it about yourself, you're probably going to go home at night, lay your head on your pillow, and be very alone and very sad. And then hopefully someday you can find that purpose in your life, because my purpose isn't football. It's impacting people. And my ministry happens to be the locker room. And I've been able still to get to know people, get to know these guys through an injury. Though I might not be playing, that is difficult from a fleshly perspective, but from the spiritual perspective, from my heart, I've been able to grow as a human being to where I feel like I'm at a better situation here as a person than I was before because of the trial I just went under. And I know that's a sermon in itself, but
yeah,
that's how I go through life. And the good Lord's been there to, it's not always about prosperity. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I believe if you read the word of God and you understand it, there's trials along the way, but they equip your heart to be who you are. So when I step on the field, I'm going against a man in Frank Reich who's very similar. He's a guy that I admire more than anything. He's a guy that has impacted my life so much, and he's going to be on the opposing sideline. So that's going to be fun.
Huh. 1 minute and 47 seconds. press conference answer containing more good theology than a lot of sermons these days. Even in an injury, I can have joy. Wow! You don't hear that a lot these days. So much of the emphasis on so much preaching is that God's going to keep you from all bad things and your life is good. You're going to live your best life now. Well, I think this fellow would tell you, not with a broken bone, I'm not living my best life now. An injury isn't what I was planning on. How do you have joy when your plans, your dreams, they appear to be collapsing? Because it's God who collapses the dreams to give you something better. And I got to tell you something. It's that kind of teaching. It's that kind of preaching that our world needs right now. Hold on. Number of teenagers reporting severe anxiety in Ireland doubles since 2012. 19,000 people interviewed. That's a pretty robust survey. Adolescents 12 to 19 reporting severe anxiety has doubled from 11% to 22% since the first survey. Now, we know that there's a pretty big range when people use the word depression, but this is supposedly severe anxiety, 22%? Yikes. Levels in young adults aged 18 to 25 has seen an increase of 11% from 15% to 26%. Yikes. 76% of adolescents reported they had one good adult in their lives, which is an increase of 5%. So they've got somebody, one good adult, who could maybe help them. But do they have an adult to share good theology with them? Probably not. So what are we giving our kids to help them cope? Not Nick Foles' theology. Instead, I hold in my hand one university's attempt. I'm not going to mention that it's Georgia Tech. I would like to believe this was a spoof, but I don't believe that it is. This is from the Vice President of Graduate Events Student Government Association to provide a healthy and stress-free environment to the tech community. A new initiative, Snuggle and Cuddle with Pets. Snuggle and Cuddle with Pets brings a petting farm weekly to their campus for 2 hours when everyone across Tech campus can snooze their homework, deadline stress, and worries for a few hours. It's actually 2 hours, but while they play with adorable and friendly animals. The activity provides a platform for everyone to leave the enclosed building spaces, come out in the open, and relax. A weekly petting farm helps in building a support system for students, a joyful space to look forward to every week, and affirms positivity, whatever that is. There's the world's effort to calm the kids who are troubled. I'm going to stick with what Nick Foles said. We see depression, anxiety increasing in our culture, especially amongst the youth. Is it sad? Yes. Is it an opportunity? Absolutely. We've got something, do we not, that's a little bit better than snuggle and cuddle with pets? I think we do. This is Wretched Radio. Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not gonna do that, but we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe. 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor, but he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Irish Vitter... Wow, is that a bad accent? The Irish Vitter... The Irish version of Wretched Radio. A study in Ireland reflecting what is going on in the USA, Canada, all over the globe. Anxiety, depression, it is striking the youth in staggering numbers, and you and I should be able to offer struggling, hurting, depressed, suicidal people something better than snuggling and cuddling with pets. That is what one university campus is offering kids who are feeling scared, worried, anxious, depressed. Petting an animal? Now, can petting an animal give you some temporary distraction? Yeah, it can. But does it fix your problems? Does it help you to cope? Does it help you to understand why things are happening the way that they're happening? Absolutely not. What else does the world offer? Well, they would offer, and they quickly do these days in our scientifically driven world, medication. Ed Welch, his book Depression, offering a biblical perspective, nevertheless spends a chapter dealing with medical treatments for depression and anxiety, and would like to share with you what he has to say, because I think he finds that right balance. Medication, it is available. It could be used for good, but we need to be aware of two things. One, we don't know how these medications work. That's a big deal. And number two, they don't address the spiritual component. Ed Welch, the heart is the real battleground during suffering, and it deserves your utmost attention. Most current thinking tends to miss the spiritual essence of depression. There is always a spiritual component. Always, depression is accompanied by questions about God, ourselves, hope, and meaning. In other words, depression is theological. Now, this is not a commentary on whether or not you have a medical issue that might be promoting some depressing thoughts. That's not the point. But even if there is a medical component, and there can be, you still need to deal with the spiritual side, because you can't blame it on the brain. Another Ed Welch book, by the way, I commended to you. It's not entirely conclusive, but there's nothing conclusive on the brain because it's so complex and it's so difficult to understand. We cannot blame our sin on the brain, but when we have a sin of doubting, a dark night of the soul, It's always a question connected to God, who we are, our understanding of who he is. Does he really take care of us? Does he really care? Are his promises really true? There's a spiritual component, and a pill doesn't address that, does it? Nevertheless, Ed continues, the basic rule is this. Physical treatments can possibly alleviate physical symptoms. And when depression is raging, most people would be delighted to take the edge off some of the physical symptoms. But physical treatments don't treat the guilt, fear, self-loathing, and other distinctly spiritual symptoms. So can these medications, these antidepressants, make you feel better? In some people, they can. They have other side effects, to be certain. But there's much we don't know. We don't know why they help. The most popular pondering hypothesis is that depression is related to a lack of a brain chemical, specifically serotonin. Many of the new medications called serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, make this chemical more available in the brain. Can it help? Yes, it can. We don't know how, and that's troubling. Does it have side effects? Yes, it does. Suicidal ideations being one of them. The brain too complex. Our mechanics too primitive. Right now, serotonin, that's the favored neurotransmitter. In previous years, it was dopamine. It might be something different in future years. There's a lot of unanswered questions. Keep that in mind. Aspirin can alleviate symptoms, but it doesn't treat the underlying cause. Same thing with antidepressants. They can help, but it doesn't deal with what's going on in your heart. To be certain, depression can be caused by other medical problems. I'm going to give you a list to remind us that you would do well if you're really struggling with depression. And you're a Christian. You're not a heathen because you're struggling with this. It's a struggle. God will help you. But Christians struggle with depression. Stop number one is a checkup. What are the medical problems with known depressing effects? Here's the list. Parkinson's disease, strokes, multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, head trauma, lupus, vitamin deficiencies. Got to stop right there. You got to check that out. They can do a deficiency test. It's not as sophisticated as we'd like. It doesn't mean for sure if you've got a vitamin deficiency because they've tested your hair, your blood, they've done your analysis, that it is definitely, that deficiency is definitely causing it, but it might be. So get that checked out. Post-surgical changes, AIDS, hepatitis, postpartum changes, huge issue for so many women. Hyperthyroidism, Cushing's disease, premenstrual depression, viral, bacterial infections, certain types of headaches. Do you suffer with migraines and you're depressed? Could it be? Yes, could. Not definitively, it could. Heart disease, side effects of other medications. Uh-oh, check that out. Chronic fatigue and any chronic illness could be the source of your difficulties. Get that checked out. And it might be something as simple as a prescription that alleviates those symptoms and will lift your mood. Praise God for medicine. But what about antidepressants? Oh, you shouldn't reject them, but you shouldn't wholehearted accept and embrace them without a lot of thought, a lot of consideration, a lot of wisdom, having elders involved, considering alternative treatments, the side effects, not knowing what those things are, could lead to more harm. Last time I checked the statistic, I do believe this is right. Now, it could be wrong because I haven't checked the statistic now for perhaps a year, and there have been more mass shootings. But all but one of the mass shootings, I think there was a study in about 40-some of the mass shootings, all but one, the person had been on or was on an SSRI, some sort of antidepressant. Need to be aware of that. Now, having said all of that, What should the Christian attitude be toward those who decide to use medication? Should it be to tisk them? No. Should it be to shame them? Uh-uh. Should it be to think that they're just a weak, feeble-minded Christian? No, it should not. Now, you may disagree with that decision. That decision may have been made without a lot of wisdom or consultation or without a lot of biblical consideration, but nevertheless, we shouldn't have a toot about it. And for some people, I think the percentage is quite low, but nevertheless, for some people, if it can be a blessing to take off the edge, to help them then go to work on the spiritual components, which is what these issues always are, questions about God, self, and the cross. They're always there, no matter what the cause is. If the trigger, to use rather relative, the cool parlance du jour, if that's the trigger that causes it, you still need to deal with it. You can't blame it on, well, any of those maladies. You still can't blame it on postpartum. If it's sin, you still have to deal with it as sin. Now, you can get to work with the medication to deal with the postpartum, and that might just clear everything up. Nevertheless, you still have to deal with these issues that are there. And they're always questions about God. It's a trust issue. Remember John 14:1. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'll just use common parlance. Don't let your heart be depressed. Don't let your heart be stressed out. Don't let your heart be anxious. Believe in God. That's the diagnosis. When we are troubled, when we are worried, when we have faithless fretting, it's because we're not believing in God. Now, isn't that good news? Because God wants to grow that in you. That means there's hope for you. That means you could put your hope in God, who is stronger than any worldly system or medication. And certainly snuggles and cuddles at a petting zoo, that God can grow you in faith and trusting him. Oh, the reality is we should be anxious if we're not believing in God, shouldn't we? We make rotten deities. We might think we've got it all under control. We do not. We can't do anything without Christ. Nothing. We are not omnipotent, but God is. And God is also benevolent, and God is caring. And that means if you are struggling with these issues, you may carefully, wisely, thoughtfully, slowly use medications, but you still must turn to the God of all hope, because issues of depression and anxiety are always theological. They always have to do with questions about God and self. Am I trusting me? Or am I trusting God? Until tomorrow, go serve your King.